St. John chapter number 5. And I'll read in your hearing the first 9 verses. St. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. If you have that passage, would you say amen? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. The word of the Lord. After this, that is the proceedings of the 4th chapter of the book of John. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem where the feast was celebrated. By the wording of this text, we would be led to think the express purpose of Jesus' trip to Jerusalem was so he could attend one of the Jewish feasts, a feast which is not specified in our text. However, this was not the only appointment on our Savior's calendar. There was something else on Jesus' calendar, and that was to meet a man who had a critical physical infirmity. We're not privy to the man's name, however. Jesus no doubt knew his name. Jesus no doubt knew his age. Jesus knew his location. Jesus knew his condition and how long he had been in this condition, even though he had never met the man before personally. And we know this because we know that Jesus is God, and God can do that. Now there is in Jerusalem, verse 2 says, by the sheep gate a pool, and in these columns, verse 3, lay a multitude of sick people, congregated and waiting to get into an adjacent pool of water. As the text has said, there was a multitude of sick people. There were not people gathered there who were suffering from a common cold or had stubbed their toe or had a hangnail, but these people who regularly gathered by this pool were legitimately handicapped and were suffering from several significant health conditions. If a nurse was present, she would be busy all day attending the needs of these who had gathered. The sacred text tells us in this verse 3 what the specific physical ailments were of those who gathered. There were the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. They were all waiting for a miracle. If you notice, these 3 things are 3 of the most difficult conditions to be healed. And they were all there present, waiting for healing to come. Although the gathered multitude suffered from a variety of illnesses, they all had one thing in common. They were all equally, totally unable to help themselves. In each case, someone at some point had brought the sick person to the pool and left them there. blind man most likely didn't walk there himself without assistance. We assume that once these persons arrived, they waited. In the case of this particular man, he had waited now for 38 years, and time was still ticking. The gentleman that Jesus purposed to meet was one of those comprising the multitude. The people gathered at the pool of Bethesda in hopes of being healed, not by God, but by an act of nature. Because at certain times, the water in the pool would unpredictably begin to swirl, and it was said that anyone who got into the water at that precise time the water was swirling, they would be healed of their infirmity. If you or I had walked by that pool and gazed over at the veranda where those persons were laying, we would be tempted to walk a different direction, take a different route, so that we would not become depressed of seeing such a sea of sick persons gathered there with little or no hope of being healed. Verse 5 says, "Now a man was there who had been disabled for 38 years. For all we know, this man may have in the past had significant financial resources. We don't know. He may have at once had a great job. We don't know that either. He may have had great benefits, including access to physicians and nurses. We don't know that either. But all we know now is that for 38 years he has been helpless. The man lying by this pool was no closer to getting healed than he was the day he was dropped off 38 years previously." By the way, if you are waiting for help in your life, for whom or what are you waiting for? Are you needing healing of some sort, be it physical healing, emotional healing, or spiritual healing? And how long have you been waiting? And how long will you wait before you realize that your hope may be displaced? You would almost think that after 38 years that somewhere along the line this man may have thought, maybe I need to search out help from some other source. But no, his total and complete faith was in this water which he could not reach. All these people were waiting and had placed their hope on a phenomenon of nature to occur, but it wasn't working for them. It wasn't working as they had hoped. And for most of them, sadly, it will never happen because they have the same problem of paralysis this man had, and they, like him, cannot physically get into that pool. The blind cannot see their way there. The lame cannot walk their way there, and neither can the paralyzed get their nerves and endings and muscles to cooperate so they can get into the pool. The man for sure represented all of those in the same condition. They all needed help. As a matter of fact, their situation was much more dire than any of them realized. If you had arrived at that pool or I had arrived at that pool and I noticed the first day as I was meeting other people who had gathered and someone says, "This man over here, he's been here for 38 years and he's still waiting for his healing." I think I would be inclined to pick up my bag and ask someone to take me right back where I came from. If he's been here 38 years and hasn't been helped, why am I here? Why do we go to the same clubs, same bars? Why do we go to the same lame parties, thinking it's going to brighten our disposition? It's going to help our thinking through the difficulties of life. We see everyone else seated around us, all with the same problems, and those drugs haven't helped them. Bottles of liquor hasn't helped them. They're still coming, and they still have the same problems. You need to look for a different solution. Their situation was more dire than they thought. Even if the water could help them, since they are not capable of getting into the water, they should expect nothing to change in their lives. These sick persons don't need water. They all need a remedy that does not require them to go to retrieve it. Do you understand what I'm saying? They need help to come to them. This is precisely your and my condition before we received our healing. We couldn't get to the help we needed. We didn't even know what we needed. But we needed help to come to us. And what, or in our case, who was the help that came to us? It was the Lord Jesus who said, or John, I should say, recorded in John 1, verses 11 through 13, about Jesus. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Whether they knew it or not, prior to Jesus walking in that room space, these multitude of sick people need Jesus. Water wasn't doing it for them. When Jesus saw him laying there and he knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Talked about that considerably last week, so I won't elaborate on that point again today. But I will say that the paralytic did not answer Jesus directly. But he responds by saying this in verse 7. "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." It's the pool's fault. It doesn't stay stirred up long enough. Or it's the people's fault because no one will help me. Who are you blaming for the things in your life that are not what they're supposed to do or supposed to be? Those first five verses really gripped me this past week as I meditated on this text. "Sir, I have no one." He didn't know how right he was. Some of us are looking to the wrong source of help for whatever your need might be. In other words, the man is saying, "Sir, I have nothing at this point. I'm drained. I have nothing. I've been here all this time and I have nothing to show for my presence here. I'm just as sick as I was 38 years ago. I have nothing." Maybe that's what we need to confess this morning. Rather than having all this confidence that I have this and I have that and I've got this medical card and I've got this insurance and I know this attorney and I know that accountant. How's that working for you? Maybe what the Lord wants to hear us say is what this man says, "Lord, I have no one." In other words, this man is saying, I have no one. The man's most likely tired. Can you imagine laying someplace for 38 years? Who's turning that man regularly? Who's making sure he's not cramped up worse than he already is with his paralysis? Who's changing his clothing? Who's feeding him regularly? If you had someone who's doing all those things, I would think those same persons could put him in the water. Sir, I have no one. Tired, worn out by his poor circumstance, and hopeless as he confesses his helplessness for sure. Do you ever see yourselves in the circumstance of this man? If so, why don't you just say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I believe if this man knew who he was talking to, he would say that. Because he just said, I have no one. If he knew that Jesus was standing before him, the one who calms seas, the one who can make waves lie down and behave, he would have said, Lord, I need you. Are you tired? Are you discouraged sometimes? Are you feeling hopeless or helpless like him? And are you not so sure what your next move should be in your life? Have you waited and waited and nothing seems to work out? Have you tried everything and everything seems to have failed? Oh, there was a little ditty we used to sing growing up that says, if you've tried everything and everything has failed, try Jesus. Someone knows that song. If he only knew who was standing in front of him. Friend, Jesus is closer than you can think. This man had no idea that Jesus, the Son of God, the one who waved the mountains into existence and blew the winds and the waves begin to roll on the seas. If he had known that Jesus was this close, surely he would have said, Lord, I need you. Even right now, Jesus is a whisper away. You know that, right? Jesus is only a whisper away. He's a prayer of confession away. For the one who does not know Jesus, he is a prayer of repentance away. The question Jesus asked this man is still on the table. Jesus hasn't moved to another point of discussion. He's waiting for a response. Do you want to be healed? In our context, I can ask the same question, maybe just a little differently. But do you believe Jesus can fix your problem or provide your need? Perhaps the man thinks Jesus is there to help him get into the water, but that wasn't what Jesus had in mind. Jesus is not about to let water take his glory. The man thinks Jesus is talking about the powers of this natural spring so that man's faith was misplaced. He's looking to be healed by a phenomenon of nature and not a direct touch by the hand of God through Jesus. This personally obviously doesn't know who he's talking to. The man had stayed in his condition so long because the swirling nature of the water is unpredictable. It's not regular. It cannot be timed so he could get a head start and maybe make it to the pool in time to get in. Unfortunately for him, when the water stirred by these natural forces, other people who are a little healthier than he, but still in need of healing themselves, step into the pool before he does. This could not possibly be the right solution for people like him, who have wasted much of their life waiting for help that will never come. This scenario tells us of the obvious. The healing water was not sufficient to accommodate everyone who needed healing because the water wasn't stirred long enough And neither was the pool big enough to host all the sick people at the right time. These sick and afflicted people are looking for help and assistance from a source other than Jesus. Jesus can heal the multitudes all at the same time, and he's doing it right as we speak. Healing people in Arlington for sure. Healing people in Dallas. Healing people in Grand Prairie and Fort Worth. Healing people in India and Africa. Every country on that continent of Africa being healed. Healing people in Europe, country by country, right as we speak. Jesus can speak to the needs of the multitudes all at the same time. Is our text telling us and showing us the insufficiency? Listen carefully, because this is a major point in this text. Is our text telling us and showing us the insufficiency of self-help remedies and superstitions that are mere superstitions for faith, or substitutions, I should say, for faith in Christ, the one who can truly heal and restore us? Are we allowing superstition and self-help remedies to take the place of faith in Christ? This man was. And so was everyone else who's laying beside that pool waiting on water to swirl. Are you looking for peace through astrology and not the one who made the sun, moon, and the stars? Are you looking for signs from board games rather than the one the stars pointed to? These things simply rely on superstition and human intervention to achieve real wholeness, if possible. These things rely upon human intervention to achieve wholeness. Apparently, only one man could get, or woman could get into the water at a time and be healed. Only 354 in a year, or 360. If there's a multitude there, and a multitude continues to come, all the people would never be healed. The swirling pool of water lacked what only Jesus could provide. The pool lacked adequate capacity because it only swirled occasionally. But Jesus does not lack capacity. He's always available. The swirling water also doesn't swirl long enough to heal all those in need of healing. But the healing virtue of Jesus is more than sufficient. Jesus is eternal in nature and will never cease to be anything less than God. The water, for all these reasons, couldn't heal the man. But the sick man is talking to Jesus, who can heal anyone at any time of any disease. It's very appropriate that at the very place the paralyzed man was laying, poolside, it was called Bethesda, which means the house of mercy. It was nothing but the mercy of God that saw this man in his miserable condition, and Jesus went there. Nothing but the mercy of God that saw you and me in our miserable condition and came to where we were. Aren't you glad that you are in Bethesda, the house of mercy? Is it appropriate because the Lord is full of mercy? And if you're in need of healing today, of whatever manner of sickness, or perhaps it's not a sickness, it's a condition or a circumstance that you're in need of Jesus' intervention, can you say, Lord, have mercy on me? Are we too proud to say, Lord, have mercy on me? This is our story. is his story, but it's my story too. And it's also your story. The story of a people who were once not necessarily physically in need of healing, but certainly spiritually immobilized, helpless to receive meaningful healing that would represent hope, much less find our way to Jesus, whom we, like this man, did not know or even recognize. Jesus is the only Savior who goes out of his way to seek those disappointed by other sources of help and cannot come to Christ by ourselves. Jesus shows up. Aren't you glad Jesus seemingly just appeared in your life just like he did this man? He just showed up. Aren't we joyous that Jesus made himself known to us? Aren't we thankful the Lord looked at us in mercy and offered and provided healing for us? Unlike anything else we may have tried. The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Are you willing to admit, "Jesus, I have no one but you"? Where or upon whom do you place your trust? Ultimately, if it's in other people, they will let you down. Ask this gentleman. And often in the most critical times in our life, when we need help the most, even sometimes our friends are not available. Where is this man's family? There's no one who would sit with him and make certain that he was in the water when the water was stirred up. They didn't want to see him healed. Where is his help? Where are the pool attendants? Where are his friends? Don't they ever visit? Where are his relatives? And what about his former co-workers? They don't even show up. Did he attend the temple services? And if so, where is his church family? You mean in all these 38 years, 2,235 weeks, 15,645 days, no one would help this man? You know what the text is telling us, right? When you run out of resources, Jesus will be there. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." He wasn't going to put him in water. He didn't have to go through all that. Isn't it marvelous how simple, how elementary salvation is? Jesus just speaks the word, and our heart that's been convicted by the Holy Spirit moves us to repentance. Get up and walk. Jesus stopped by, and in a matter of minutes, one day, Jesus did more than his family, his friends, his co-workers, his doctor, his lawyer, or anyone else did in 38 years. Enough of your misery, sir. Enough laying by this pool looking for help that never comes. Help isn't help if it's not available. Enough waiting for someone else to do for you only what Jesus can do. Rise up. Pick up your pallet. Instead of the bed holding him, Jesus told him to pick up his bed. Let me ask you this, thinking about that. Why is your circumstance holding you up instead of you being on top of your circumstance? If the Bible says we're more than conquerors, why are you laying under the weight of your circumstance? Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. Get up and walk. He was commanded to do what he couldn't do before he met Jesus. You can do what you could not do before you met Jesus. Walk, don't crawl like you previous had to do, but walk. You're no longer confined to a bed. You're now able to carry your bed. And why carry your bed? Because the bed is your testimony about where the Lord has brought you from. Walk. No, don't crawl no more. You can walk. The text shows us something else. The Creator is greater than His creation. Jesus will not allow water to take the glory from Him. Jesus is more powerful than creation. Take up your bed and walk, sir. Nature obeys the voice of Jesus and bows to His every command. No diagnosis, no lab tests are needed. Just take up your bed and walk. You say, oh, it's too good to be true. No, it's not. Jesus said, no good thing will I withhold from you. Now, as I move to my close quickly, I want to ask another question. Why are you messing around with swirling, bubbling water? Why are you messing around with tarot cards, games of chance, lucky lotteries, and observing astrology? If you're laying poolside when all you had to do in the first place was get to know Jesus and let Jesus heal you, what or whom are you wasting your time with? Thinking a person or a relationship can heal you, or thinking a club or food or friends will heal you, when all you need and all you should want is Jesus. Instead of prescribing pills, Jesus said, get up. Instead of getting into another relationship, Jesus said, get up. Instead of buying more toys, thinking they'll fix your problem, Jesus says, get up. What do we see about Jesus in this healing? What is revealed about the person of Jesus Christ and His deity in this text? Don't we see His tender heart toward the hurting? Don't we see the deep love of Jesus toward the unloved? And can we see evidence of Jesus' merciful nature and kind spirit? And do we see the inability of the paralyzed man to help himself as a mirror of the human condition, where none of us could help ourselves get the spiritual help all of the spiritually sick need? Are you ready to say, Lord, have mercy on me? Can you swallow your pride enough to say, Lord, help me? Swallow your pride enough to say, Lord, I have no one but you. Do for me what I cannot do for myself. Amen.